What's up, everybody, and welcome to the Swolecast. We have another fun show today, joined by one of my favorite people in the world, one of the original Leafs off of the old Soccer Dave tree. It's going to be a fun show. You know, he's kind of developed into this nerd thing, so we're going to get deep into Michael Leone's head and, of course, just talk ball like we always do. It's the Swolecast here at RotoGrinders.com.
You babysat him from the Swolecast? I was like, yep, that's me.
I just want you guys to know I'm total dust. I'm the problem.
Hear ye, hear ye.
Leave it to the guy with the crypto of Dune's Abbey to not understand content.
I should have known you getting 30 likes was directly written by someone else.
You know me, I don't do a ton of research before the show.
I've put no research into this, don't know if it's true at all.
You're on the right show. Do it,
bro. Live a little.
Live a little. Just live a little, guys.
All right. Welcome in. We got a lot to talk about, but I want to check in. It's Masters Week. Davis, you've got your hat on. You're looking forward to it, aren't you?
Yes. Yeah, I am. I am looking forward to watching a ton of golf over the next 96 hours, David. I always enjoy it. The key is whoever you lock in your Millie Maker stuff, you just really got to hope that they're not like eight over by the time you wake up on Thursday morning.
Like, talk to me about like your action right now. Like, is it just DFS? Do you have like how widespread action? You have like office pools, you have drafts going on. Like, what all is involved?
Office pools, one and done, the stuff on Underdog, shout out to Pat Mayo. Jumping ship there. Love to see that, bringing the golf action over there. Got some outrights. I'm doing the DraftKings pick six. Little do people know the DraftKings pick six game is actually like some of the softest stuff in daily fantasy. I'm pretty sure only idiots play it to get promo dollars.
Or the just stale lines that they want to just lock in a couple hours later. Yeah, all right. Pete, how's it going? Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, no, I mean, I was just realizing we got Masters. Apparently, it's like one of the biggest UFC cards ever on Saturday. And we're going to talk about some NFL prospects that all of us have barely researched collectively.
Just got done with March Madness. And
we are a show for the people, Peter. Yeah. Maybe we can do 30 minutes on the popularity of women's basketball, some WNBA draft analysis, and
Get me started on a 2 p.m. Central Time start on Sunday when you've got all these people. They broke all sorts of records.
No, that was good.
He started on a 9:30 p.m.
Yeah, 2 p.m. on a Sunday.
30 is a brutal start.
You know how much?
Can we find a balance there, though? Like,
Can we introduce our guest?
Hold on.
Hi, everybody. I'm Mike. Nice to meet you.
All right, fine. This guy needs no introduction.
Clearly.
you'll find him in the R Python streets now, the analytics streets, just doing spreadsheets. Guy used to be a man of the people. Now he's just in the sheets, not in the streets. So Michael Leone from Establish the Run. On Twitter, he's Two Hats, One Mike. And for people that are just, you know, kind of new to the game, that name was given to him by me. I gave him that nickname.
You know, not really, actually. The thing
no,
is,
I did.
Is that this is such an inside baseball story that this, I believe Kay Adams was actually the one who gave Michael Leone.
No. Kitchen gave Kay Adams was there, and she I was mad there.
It's a much Henderson, better story of Kay Adams giving the name, I'll tell you that.
No, I was. It was actually at a FanDuel event, and Leone was he's like, oh, whose drink is this? And I said, I think that's Kay Adams, who was up on stage with Ricky Henderson at the time. You know, they had big time star power. And Michael famously took a drink and said, well, she's up there with Ricky now. That was just
Mike. The start Mike shared of a wonderful the night. Same drink with Kay Adams. That makes him the previous Shams, the one that just had unmatched yeah. chemistry with Kay Adams.
Yes.
She referred to me as a poor man's Pat Mayo.
That's right. That's right. That's the line. That's what I was remembering. Wow. Yeah. Which, look, I mean, there are better things. There are worse things to be than a poor man's Pat Mayo.
Absolutely.
You could have made that your Twitter handle. It could have been poor man's Pat Mayo.
Leone, though, just how much prep work have you done for this draft? Like, take us through what you're involved in right now.
I've done prep work on the skill position players. I don't know where any offensive linemen or defensive players are going, but
yeah, that's okay. Main issue for today.
Yeah, well, in two weeks we'll have someone who is very skilled in the offensive lineman department, Mr. Patrick Corain will be joining us.
I don't think so, Dave. He is having a child very soon. I don't think.
Yeah, but he can't come on this one show that he does every year. Like, I know that he's taking a little bit of a leave.
You know, like, I think in terms of like a hierarchy of needs, like taking care of his newborn child and his wife.
A hierarchy of show needs? He's not returning to this one. I'll tell you that.
Yeah,
it's an hour that he does every year. Who are we going to get to replace him?
Let me get to it. We're stumbling all over Zet's overview, Kitchen.
Okay, sorry. All right, before we get into all the big stuff, let's go ahead and just get into something we like to call Over Zet's overview.
He's got that dog in her butt. He's got that dog in her butt.
Overview. Come on, Leone. Are you familiar with this hit segment?
A little bit.
Totally.
Okay. No, all right. Okay. This is, as Dave was kind of hinting at, our second to last show before the NFL draft, and our audience is getting restless for our annual top 300 prospect rankings, and Pat Corain, who Kitchen hinted at, is our offensive line guru and correspondent. He idiotically planned the birth of his child during the peak of offensive line prospect season. I mean, just absolute misstep by Corain. But as you can see, we filled his million-dollar shoes with one Mr. Michael Leone. And for people who don't know, Leone recently completed a 33-mile ultra run in the mud. Congratulations, Mike. And he celebrated by going to a math museum and moving Tyler Lockett up a few spots in the ranks.
That's what we call living a little.
Yeah, whatever floats your boat, man. I will say Leone's been laying low a little bit content-wise. Most assume he's working behind the scenes at ETR with spreadsheet stuff. But in reality, he's been meeting with Chess Liam for multiple hours a day, workshopping how to fall in love with the shaky wide receiver prospect the Bills are about to draft. You guys,
Ladd McConkey, baby. Yards per run.
Round one, Ladd McConkey.
I knew you'd be a Ladd McConkey guy.
You guys are just the complete like handshake emoji beam on whoever the Bills draft. That's where you guys come together. Davis Matic is very excited about the upcoming NFL draft. He's now mocked 19 different wide receivers to the Chiefs in the first round.
As long as it's not Xavier Leggett.
No, you're setting up the perfect self-retweet on draft night, Davis. You're going to retweet the one correct one. Congrats on the future engagement. Davis actually told me he's been starting each day with a new self-affirmation routine. He wakes up, splashes some water on his face, and repeats in his mirror 100 times, I will win the little board. I will win the little board. I will win the little board. New contest, $3 20 backs on Underdog Fantasy. Hop in there with Davis. David Kitchen, our wonderful host, he's actually posted one personal tweet in the last week about, and you guys will not believe this, Deshaun Watson starting week one. That's dated one piece of content. And the only thing more on brand about this post is the fact that it literally has zero likes. Literally zero. Honestly, Kitchen, respect for keeping it up. You know Davis would have nuked that within 30 seconds of no engagement.
I just deleted some tweets this morning that had like six likes. Then I have a complaint. Well, okay. My account is like actually banned. Like I'm actually shadow banned.
No, you're just bad at tweeting now.
No, I have a tweet right now with 33 retweets and 236 favorites that is 29,000 views. The math does not add up. My account is actually like getting buried in the algorithm right now. Elon, and I can't figure out why.
Elon.
Because Elon's heard you talking shit about him on your little take.
You have been talking
pod.
So much about
it's
Elon.
It's gotta be something about like accounts that follow like certain lib accounts or whatever. The math is not mathing.
Elon's turned you into a conspiracy truther. I do want to give Kitchen some props though. And this will seem hard to believe, but Kitchen did a little prep for this episode. Apparently, he read one running back blurb in J.J. Zacharyson's draft guide and will now insist that we talk about that running back for 10 plus minutes solely so he can regurgitate one stat he remembered from the blurb. Back to you, Kitchen.
Thank you. Thank you so much. This running back class is, J.J. says it's not really that great of a running back class. So I'm not sure. How much time?
I'm sure, you got a nugget on Will Shipley for us, though, at some point.
Thank you.
Will Shipley, Peter, Chase, yeah, I call him.
Can I say how much it irrationally tilts me Davis's nature of deleting tweets?
Yeah.
Like just firing smoke and not being able to handle the repercussions. It's just
what is there to gain from leaving up a six like tweet about Xavier Worthy?
We're on different philosophical planes that like you're even considering that you would go and delete that tweet though. Like
you would take the time to delete.
Because to Leone's point, a tweet implies intent that you have this thought that you want the world to know for more than a set duration of time.
That's not why I tweet though. I tweet for the dopamine hits of likes and retweets and higher numbers. I don't tweet because I'm genius with thoughts that need to be shared. I tweet for the engagement.
What was the year you had to delete like all the past tweets? Was it something with like Mike Evans or Brady, or maybe it was Odell?
I mean, the Odell one,
I think it was the Bucks when they won the Super Bowl.
The Odell one is big, but I just in 2021 or 2022, I can't remember which, I bought the tweet delete thing and I deleted all my tweets forever. So like I deleted every tweet since like,
yeah,
I think that might be why Elon doesn't like you.
Yeah, I don't know.
Why is Elon going to give engagement to someone who might rug pull him the second he
knows? I bet that is part of the engagement thing, is when you are trying to artificially like manufacture like high engagement rates on every single post. I bet they're penalizing.
I do not think that's true.
Zero, like it's like grooming your account to sports bet. Yeah. You need the zero, like Deshaun Watson. You need to live bet the
balance
over
your range,
on a game
Davis,
once
with
in a
some
while.
Real stinkers.
I love that we're like Davis is with the mustache and the hair. He's got that Matthew McConaughey vibe, you know, with the cigarettes. That he's kind of gone into, hey, what would be more realistic that I'm trying to manufacture engagement and likes, and that's what's causing my account to be maybe less in the algorithm, or the fact that I follow some lib accounts and Elon has it against me. Like
it's not Elon specifically. It's just something I'm doing wrong.
Yeah.
In posting and replying, and there I don't know go. What it is. It's driving me crazy,
Davis,
trying to figure it out. But I'm doing something wrong on the platform. Something.
Maybe
I don't
it's
know
you.
What.
Maybe it's your
yeah.
face.
Have you looked inward, Davis?
Yeah.
No, because the other engagement farm accounts
no,
are doing fine. Like, go look at like what it. Let's see. Here. Let's go to
who is Petri's page. What neighbor? Right now. Yeah. Who are your? Your Hind Vetri is outworking you with threads
oh,
nonstop.
Yeah.
You can't compare yourself to Vetri.
You don't have the Vetri work ethic. To
all right. Who's okay? Like, give me a
Olka Vetri.
Scott Barrett. Scott Barrett's a good comp for you.
Scott. So Scott's tweets do incredible. Scott's yeah. and to be fair, Scott works them. Much harder because Scott yeah. will always Scott will always make up some stat that people love, and he will he is the king. Scott is the absolute king of being like it's like a 150 character intro into a stat, like the one he did yesterday is like, if I was an NFL scout making poverty wages for the Giants, this is the tight end report that I would give them. instead I wrote it for all my fantasy point subs or whatever. Like, that's a good lead-in.
Yes, maybe you start mapping that type of template.
I'm not comfortable
paid me $36. This is the wide receiver I would tell
to give them a list of 25 rookie wide receivers they could draft. Here are the names I would give them.
And I also wonder if, because one of my assumptions for a while was that the platform was rewarding video as opposed to links, yeah. but that has not been my experience this last year. That even embedded video accounts are not doing, or tweets are not doing that good.
It's a tough life, man.
Yeah, maybe go over to Truth Social and see what's going on. All right,
you know what? It's so fun. I do want to just put a bow on this. With, I have noticed Davis has even picked up his activity in the Deposit Kingdom Discord. He's been way more active in the ship chasing channel. I think you are running there to get your engagement that you're not getting on Twitter anymore.
Is he posting his tweets like,
yep,
no,
he's so, yeah, this is, you're doing, have you considered the leverage of taking these players? Those are tweets, Davis, and you've been posting them in there.
So this is actually what happened, which is that it's a crypto bull run again. So all of the guys in Godseekers, they do not care. Like, they're not drafting big board teams. There's no the cabal chat room that I've been hanging out in, Pete's Discord, is not active right now because no one cares about football. But the ship chasers are, they've, none of them have ever felt the touchable woman. So they are down to be talking about Dylan Lobb on April 10th.
But none of that All changes right. my thesis that you're farming them for engagement.
I mean, that's just my online persona. That's just what I do, Peter.
Yeah, just what he does. Just let him cook.
That's like, fish gotta swim, birds gotta fly. I gotta farm engagements, brother.
From your lips to Elon's ears.
Hey, Leone, what are you doing right now?
I've got to point up JJ's prospect guide in case I need to regurgitate a statistic.
Go to late round QB or lateround.com and get JJ's prospect guide. It is.
I actually had one of the guys we hired, his in-laws have a printing company. So yeah. I've got a physical copy, and I sent JJ a few, but I've got a physical copy.
That's actually cool. I thought you were going to say
it actually came out right.
And we've been printing money.
You printed them off and selling them on eBay.
Leone, are you going to like maybe do a road trip down to JJ, have him sign it for you?
I mean, I should. Yeah. That's a great idea.
How far is your family from JJ?
My family is close to JJ. My sister lives in Charlotte, and JJ is like, yeah. and it's like Huntersville, which I don't know, like 20 minutes. 20
so just
minutes.
Make a trip there. JJ is too rich to care about doing in like printable or printed draft guides. All his is right there. I've actually used
is that a sentence.
I'm just saying he's too rich to even care about like printed books, manuals, guides, whatever, magazines.
It's a question we ask a lot around here, Leone.
I actually took JJ's draft guide and then put it into Claude AI and said, hey, give me the
TLDR, please.
Just give me the draft rankings. I don't have time.
There's a page with the rankings. You don't need to put it into AI.
Kitchen asked the AI for what page the rankings were on.
can't go to the table of contents.
Michael, I've got one outright left to bet on my card for the Masters. I have the window pulled up. I was trying to finish it up before we started. Give me someone who is going to win the 2024 edition of the Masters.
Oh, dude, I'm so far behind. I'm going to cram all my Masters right after the show, but I'm going to lock Rory in the $10 million Baker.
I can't bet Rory again. I literally been hurt too many times.
Dude, this is what I feel like if I did with Sergio in 2017.
And then immediately rejected it when he gave it to you.
I probably would have said yes.
Any one guy, but not that guy.
I probably would have said yes to anyone other than Scotty and Rory, to be honest.
I'll give you one of the scores and odds picks for free, Davis. Noto, who had a 50-1.
I bet I already have this guy.
Is it Cameron Young?
Oh, no. Okay, I'm not doing that either.
Oh, my God. Let's move on. Why did you even make this a segment?
Why Cameron Young is not going to win a major? Made your bets, and you have the guys you
know. He almost won one, didn't he? Like, wasn't he leading a major? Like,
Not almost. He came in third. He came in third the British Open year where Cam Smith – I mean, he finished third, but in a sense, he was never going to win because –
I thought he was Cam in Smith contention. Was, one,
doesn't
one
he already have four top 10 finishes at majors in his young career?
Okay,
including seventh last year.
I thought we were gonna do the NCAA women's ranking or ratings conversation.
You know, we're past Kitchen's that.
Too pissed off about the afternoon start time.
We were I mean, at Kitchen a basketball tournament. Think of all the kids that are playing sports on a Sunday afternoon, and you want to try to grow the game with a 2 p.m. game
they did
start?
Grow the game because I watched it and I wouldn't have watched it at 9:30 p.m.
I would not have watched it at 9.
I mean, to David's point, I don't understand what's wrong with like 6 o'clock start times.
I'm just saying, like, you've got a whole generation of like young athletes that did not get to watch that game live because they were involved in their own sports on a Sunday afternoon, which is a day where all these sports are taking place. That's my only thing. Anyway,
how am I going
let's get
to
on.
Explain this to my children? I had a hard talk with April about not being able to watch the game
because she had
late afternoon nap time.
Yeah, she's dribbling.
All right, Kitchen, get us back on track. What
yeah,
do best?
22
yeah,
minutes
see,
in.
Let's see how. Some, let's see Kitchen's plan to get us back on track.
Let's talk some actual bowl and let's start off with some big news. Not sure if you guys heard, Stephon Diggs traded to the Houston Texans.
What? This is how you had to find out, Leone?
Yeah.
He had to find out on the Swolecast from Soccer Dave.
Leone, seriously, like when you heard this news, what was your like initial reaction? Like before you even really got to like really look into it and the numbers and everything else, what was your first reaction?
I was a little surprised for sure. Cause I feel like over the past few years, there's been a lot of like, oh, the media is making this Diggs drama an issue, but you know, it's not really an issue. And
yeah,
I don't know. I was a little surprised with the contract too. It wasn't like they could get out of paying him that easily. So I was a little surprised.
Yeah.
And it reminded me of when they traded.
Turns out it was an issue. Turns out it
turns out
it was actually
an
issue. Yeah.
It reminded me when the Sammy Watkins trade happened too. Like I remember being, I was probably more surprised by it. I don't know. The teams were in different spots.
Kids these days do not remember a world where Sammy Watkins was referred to in the same nebulous as Stephon Diggs. Like half the people watching this are like, Sammy Watkins, you mean the fat guy on the Ravens? Like that's literally their lasting image of Sammy Watkins.
Mean for no reason, but
Sammy Watkins was the centrist in the great, you know, small versus big wide receiver
he was.
Wars
it's
of 2014.
True.
Yeah.
Yeah.
God, take
so
back,
he helped those KC Chiefs win a Super Bowl. Had a pretty had some good catches that game.
He was amazing for that man. He scored a 70-yard touchdown in the AFC Conference Championship game. He was a very good Chief.
I do feel like in these spots, you know, everyone's got like the hot take one way or the other, and I'm kind of like boring in the middle. But sometimes you just gotta get out when you can, get what you can. It's like in Dynasty. It's like sometimes you gotta trade.
You just know, get that third rounder, regardless, whatever you can get.
Yeah, before it's and like it clearly wasn't going to work out, and people are like, I don't know, it would have been more of a lost season with Diggs drama than it would be not having Diggs,
especially if it caused the front office to not spend a first round pick on a wide receiver. Like if they're like, we got Diggs, we got Shakir, we got Curtis Samuel, we got Kincaid, like let's take an interior defensive lineman at 28 or whatever, then it really would have been
Are they trading up?
So I don't know. Bean has traded up a few times in his history, so it wouldn't totally shock me. I don't think they should because, like, they're starting to lose. Like, they've lost a lot of players, you know. Yeah. They've got a lot of picks.
I guess that was the thing, yeah, is that they lost a lot of players to free agency, and then they trade away Diggs. And it's like, you've got this pretty good quarterback, and you've got this like window of trying to
Dave, don't you watch the NFL Network? This is what teams with really good quarterbacks should do now, is they should just say, just go win it, big fella. Right. This is what the talking heads are saying is the Chiefs basically left Pat, you know, without a paddle on offense and said, go figure it out. So that's what other teams should be doing now.
It's
a real take, by the way.
They've like tried very hard to get Mahomes. Like a lot of these picks and stuff haven't worked out.
Yeah, Sky Moore.
They haven't done the trade up thing though that people think the Bills might do to get like one really good guy. They've tried to, but like Green Bay did what the Chiefs did, and it's worked out.
The way I know Leone's a fan is because I went to his Twitter feed, and there were two posts he had retweeted. One was a lot of the stuff he's saying right now, Bill Barnwell saying, hey, they should trade back, emulate what the Chiefs and Packers did. And the other one was like, what if they traded up for Marvin Harrison? That would be.
I had a tweet the other day. I was like, the Bills should not trade up. This would not make sense. I would be super excited if they did.
Yeah. Well, they can't. I don't think they could get up to Marvin Harrison. The question you would have to ask yourself would be, one, would the Bears at 9 be, because the Bears only have 4 picks in the whole draft. So would just giving the Bears more overall shots to take, would that even be convincing to them to get from, 24 to 9? Probably not, honestly. The other thing is you got to ask yourself, okay, let's get up to 15, 16, whatever for Brian Thomas Jr. I mean, is that even worth it? Would you rather just take one of the Texas guys? I think A.D. Mitchell might just be better than Brian Thomas. Hot take.
I like Worthy. I mean, Worthy was kind of who I wanted them to take. But that's exactly what you're saying is exactly my brain. Is like for them to trade up for Harrison or Neighbors would be like take so much. And I just think they need more help. And then if you're going to trade up for Brian Thomas, like you said, like at that point, you're probably better off sitting tight and just making multiple picks. The Curtis Samuel signing makes a little bit more sense now, though. When they signed him to the 3-year deal and the Chiefs got Hollywood for a 1-year deal, I'm like, what in the world are we doing?
Hollywood's too small to play in the cold, Michael. Hollywood is not. I mean, his name is literally Hollywood. He's not showing up to shovel snow before December 5th game.
Yeah, he didn't play in their cold weather city ever. So
no, people are saying more and more. Yeah.
Dalton Kincaid, where is he on your big board?
I mean, he's been drafted, so.
I'm talking about like for this upcoming.
He's talking about, he wants you to go behind the paywall and talk about where Kincaid is in the ETR ranks.
We're a little bit lower than ADP on Kincaid right now. We're running it back with Kyle Pitts.
Are you drafting in the big board right now, or do you have a family?
I have like 2 teams in the big board. I'm doing a few FFPC teams right now. But we're really high on the Atlanta. I feel like the market's not totally building in like how drastically Atlanta's going to change.
Now, do you want to defend your stance that Darnell Mooney is better than Rondale?
Do I have that stance? Do I think Darnell? I mean,
the chat is saying that there is a big ETR Darnell Mooney stance.
Yeah, I mean, we have him like 4 wide receiver spots ahead of ADP. Like, I don't have a strong stance on Darnell Mooney. This is what I hate about, like, I mean, it's like April and you're like a little bit ahead of ADP on a guy, and people are like, I keep getting Darnell Mooney with the ranks, man. Like,
Rashad Perriman already. He's 4 spots ahead of the ranks.
It's actually it's got to be the most frustrating thing about what you do, which is like this very small, minute positional thing after pick 150 ends up being like what people remember about your work for the year of being like, I got 64% Darnell Mooney in the big board. Thanks, Leone.
Feel like they're
it's like Pat Freiermuth like, last year. You were so high on Pat Freiermuth.
I don't even remember that.
Yeah, well, I had a good bit of Pat Freiermuth.
Yeah.
But now the Mooney thing is like, he's a, I don't know. They're going to play a ton of 3 wide receivers. We could maybe even that out with Rondale. I like them both at ADP right now. I don't think they're going to bring in another receiver. But
Leone, I am not persecuting you. I mean, I am in the sense that I think Rondale is going to score more fantasy points than Darnell Mooney, but I am just communicating what people are saying in the chat.
Yeah.
The one thing about Mooney, like the Falcons could still take a wide receiver. Like their depth chart at wide receiver is sneaky thin. The Mooney thesis could get pretty complicated if they take a day two wide receiver.
I mean, they could take Odunze at 8. Why wouldn't they?
Let's
talk about the Texans offense though, really quick. Like,
oh yeah,
they're going for it.
Yeah, it's the most overpriced.
What gives you that idea?
It is not the most overpriced offense at all.
Stroud is more expensive than Mahomes now.
Okay, are you talking about real life money, Leone, or fantasy capital?
I'm talking fantasy capital. I mean, yeah, okay, Stroud's probably gotten a little expensive. I feel like that's moved a lot. All right, I was seeing that a little bit, but I do think people are underestimating that they could change their play calling a decent bit and just like absolutely let Stroud eat.
Yeah, could throw
like,
oh,
how can they
times.
Feed all these receivers? Well, they'll just throw the ball every single down. Like everyone's like assuming they're going to be the same pass rate they were last year.
Yeah. How much mixing do you got in your two teams?
Dude, we're actually this probably seems very off brand, but we're like crazy behind ADP on like Mixon, Aaron Jones, Austin Eckler.
Being behind on Jones for you feels so surprising. Cause I like hate that range, but I do like Aaron Jones.
I just want to appreciate that moment from Kitchen for a sec, because Kitchen asked that question at the start in earnest and then immediately remembered that Leone just said he only drafted two teams, but he's smooth. Like if someone just listens back to it on audio, they'll think it was a joke, but he actually made a hard pivot mid-sentence.
It was a great moment.
Peter and his ship chasing compadres have me so self-conscious that I assumed the joke was that I've liked Joe Mixon at some point in the past. that's like a mark of shame.
Yeah. Like when you go on the ship cast, do you feel
a ship cast? Just another good, really subtle dig.
That was the name. That was literally the name of the show. I'm going to allow it.
Okay. Was it? I didn't know.
The in-season show was called the ship cast. Yes.
Huh.
Oh.
Do you feel like nervous when you go on there because kind of the toxicity of the environment that they've created?
I do feel nervous sometimes. I do feel a little nervous.
Which one of us makes you the most nervous?
It's got to be Gretch. Gretch will get in your face.
It's got to be Gretch.
Gretch will get in your face and be like, what do you mean you think Jalen McMillan is good?
It's probably... I think it's just a combination. Like, I'm worried no one's going to agree with me. Like, a lot of times I'm nervous and then, like, Pat or someone will be like, I see that. Like, I get it. But sometimes it's, like, nobody and it's just, like, it's a lonely place then.
I love how, like...
You know, the chat's, like...
That's when
like,
you know you're the most right, though, Leone. So it works out.
And also, like, you're used to going up against Silva. Like, you've conquered Silva. People listen to the Man versus Machine podcast. Like... It's normally like 80% capitulation from Silva saying,
you know, you're probably right. You know, I'll adjust the top 100 rankings.
Yeah. And so, like, I feel like you've conquered him. You should not be afraid of the ship guys at all.
The ship guys.
Yeah.
Well, I would say I have a video coming out tomorrow comparing all of the ranking sets, and I was stunned how below market you guys are on both Barkley and Jonathan Taylor. Like you guys have them as undraftable at their current ADPs. I was surprised you guys took that big of a stance.
Yeah, it's really hard doing the rankings now too, though, because it's like ADP is going to change so much. You're trying not to morph the rankings to April ADP, but at the same time, the people who are drafting tons of teams, then like they need to think a little bit more if they're going to diversify. If they just do the rankings, like you said, I think I took Barkley in the third round where I was like, okay, I'm never going to get Barkley with our ranks, but he's here in round three. So yeah. I took him on one of mine.
So you have 50% Barkley in your draft.
There's a good YouTube short, Sosa. ETR lead data analyst Mike Leone has 50% Saquon Barkley.
Despite having them buried in the ranks, dishonest much?
Disingenuous is what some would say.
Yeah, JT. I mean, some of these, like, I'm worried with JT that they're going to, I mean, just not throw the ball to the running backs a ton, and he's going to lose some goal line equity. So I think our ranking's pretty good on him. The Barkley stuff's somewhat similar, right? Like, you're worried he's not going to catch a ton of passes, and Jalen Hurts is going to continue to do the sneak. Like, maybe they dial back the push-push a little bit more this year, and they give Barkley some of those opportunities, but you got to be, I think, pretty convinced Barkley still really got it to take him where he's going.
I should mention, I take Devin Achane over him because I'm just trying to have fun in April.
Yeah. Everyone, all the ranking sets I looked at, Leone, are all behind ADP on Barkley. It's just that he's such a name brand that the people who aren't drafting off of ranks are like, Barkley in the second? Sign me the hell up,
yeah,
brother.
Yeah.
Who is not drafting off rankings in the big board, though, honestly? Like, truly.
I do take... Like, I think Bijan and Brees, I take ahead of the receivers early sometimes, the way we, even though we have it ranked the opposite, just because, especially on FFPC, because then you can you take like a little bit of value loss there, but then you're not tempted to make like a bad running back pick the next like six rounds when you can just,
I got a hot take I'd like to float to you, Leone. I have been drafting Justin Jefferson ahead of Tyreek Hill and Ja'Marr Chase. This off season,
I heard about another best ball analyst that was doing this too. I haven't figured out who it is though.
So people are mad about this, and I saw from your face that you also disagree. So why don't you tell me why I'm wrong?
I was exaggerating a little bit, but I mean it's hard to go wrong. Those guys are also talented, but it just seems like you've got three wide receivers that are. Three to four wide receivers that are all clearly amazing in offenses that are just way safer. It just seems like an unnecessary.
I think the perceived safety is a bit off because JJ McCarthy.
You think like Chase playing with Burrow is not as safe as Jefferson with possibly Sam Darnold?
There are unconfirmed reports out there that this Burrow thing is like this Burrow hand injury might be like a deal forever. Like it might just be a reoccurring.
Okay, Tyreek Hill, who is probably going to set the receiving record.
Tyreek Hill, who declined in efficiency in the back half of the season.
Yeah, did he have an ankle injury?
Here's the Jefferson argument. He was the number one pick last year. He was just as productive per game, even with Nick Mullins in there after he came back from the injury. He gets 9 games a year in a dome, so you have a very good chance of him having a dome game. In week 17, I think the market is basically making the assumption that Sam Darnold or some idiot is going to be the quarterback. I'm making the assumption it's going to be Drake May or JJ McCarthy. The draft bros are pretty in on JJ McCarthy. I actually have not heard any prospect bro be like, yeah, this JJ McCarthy thing is not going to work out for whatever team takes.
He's just a wild card. He's kind of like the... Those receivers that we know with the good yards per out run, but they don't run a lot of routes. That's like, he's like the quarterback version of that. Like we just don't know.
He's Trey Lance. There's just no sample size on him as a thrower. Really?
This is why though, best ball has given us so like the window for content, because you know, 4 or 5 years ago, even if you had rankings out in April, what would you call them? The way too early rankings, you know, the initial rankings. And now we're already just dissecting any sort of ranking discrepancy that there is. Pete's doing videos about it. I love it, but it does add some more pressure to your plate, Leone. And, you know,
now I feel bad. I can't sleep at night because I'm putting Leone under the microscope. I'm making him nervous when he comes on shows.
Yeah.
I'm going to call him.
We legitimately like, the piece of content, I think we just published it, but I was like, we need a rankings FAQ this year. Like,
that's like, honestly, it's like a great idea. Leone, that is such a good idea because people are so bad at anything with even a smidgen of context needed to be applied.
Yeah. Well, that's why you should like.
But it's, I get like, people,
I think rankings
also, like,
should be divided into tiers. No one does.
Yeah, and we're adding tiers.
Wow. Dave breaking tiers. Ground.
We're adding tiers this year too, but it's hard to like, and we explain this in our rankings, but like, we have a set of projections that feeds all our rankings. So it's hard for me to be like, oh, underdog, I'm gonna put this guy here because the ADP is here. Like, the ADP is baked in, but like, sometimes the underdog ADP and the FFPC ADP is like totally different. And it's like, if you're fudging the guy to be like ahead on underdog, now he might be like four rounds ahead on FFPC. So I'm trying to like organically be like, this is how we view the players. Like, this will bake in some of the ADP, but like, this is the value ranking. But like, you're still gonna have roster construction strategy. You still have to like
have a brain.
Massage, Leone, like where you want to take guys.
This is what I was trying to explain to Davis for the past few years. And when it comes to ADP and rankings, he's like, oh, you could have got him in the next round. You could have got him two rounds later. But if you like him and your rankings are different and they're in this similar tiers and it doesn't align with your roster construction, that's when quote unquote can live a little.
I would like to argue with you and tell you how stupid and dumb you are, but sadly, Brick shamed me to everyone on the internet pretty recently. And he basically highlighted that I was just more or less a sophisticated auto drafter. Like basically you feed the ETR ranks into ChatGPT and you got my teams last year. So I have responded in typical Matic fashion by going completely the other way. I've got over 50% of five different guys. I've got over 25% of 20 guys right now.
I gotta be honest with you. Almost all my portfolio is like 50%, maybe some are 100% and some are zero. It's pretty crazy.
Yeah. Just three buckets.
I don't know how that math worked out, but
he's got 100% Luke Musgrave.
You've gotten so funny over the years, Leone.
How was the math museum, by the way? Did you really drag Dink there, or was that just a serendipitous photo op?
We legitimately went, but it's not what you think. It's not like pictures of like equations and like the history of Euclid. Like, it's more like a bunch of puzzles and stuff that you can do. You know, like there's like mazes and like some geometry, like kind of like almost like magic eye stuff, but it inspired us. I mean, when we did an escape room right after, Michael was with us. He came, he loved it. We did.
All right, I've got a MacBook you might like to read, Michael.
Let's talk about Micah, because I got to hang out with Micah. How old is he? Nine?
Seven.
Seven. This kid knows everything about any single NFL player. He asked me all sorts of questions about...
We call that the pipeline to being a virgin fantasy football analyst.
My thoughts on these players. And of course, you know, I'm giving him all the
Dave's
alpha.
Dave's like, I know all about that guy.
Michael loves Derrick Henry.
Yeah. So, but it is... I want to know, like, did your relationship with Davis being kind of that father figure kind of prepare you for... Micah wanting to come, and like, are you trying to guide him away from like hot takes and, you know, Davis-esque type rants?
Micah, Madden is an amazing teacher. It's insane. Yeah. I think Micah knows more linemen than I do because of Madden.
That's incredible.
He also spends all his, like, the screen time that he gets, he just goes to ESPN and just reads like,
that's every, what I did growing up, is like the sports page.
News item. Yeah.
Right.
It's so like I forgot who, one of the backup quarterback, like it was like Tyrod Taylor, I didn't realize had like signed yet. And and I was like, oh, he's on the Giants. And Mike was like, no, he's not. And I'm like, okay, you're right. I was saying before the show, he's randomly a New Orleans Saints fan. So he likes the Bills, but he doesn't get upset. He'll even tell you, he goes, I don't get as upset as mommy and daddy.
Saints fan because of Kamara?
I don't know exactly what it is. He really likes Jameis.
Who's not with the Saints.
So, I know.
So he's going to be a Browns fan.
He really wanted Jameis to start. He's got this weird affinity for backup quarterbacks. I just don't get it. So he did a franchise.
Your son is Siege.
I was going to say he was an ETR subscriber in 2021 when we were all drafting Trey Lance. He just joined the gang.
He did a franchise and like the injuries are on and from real life. So he drafted Kirk Cousins and he was like out for the season. So he won the Super Bowl with Clayton Tune and is just like obsessed with Clayton Tune. And we bought a few packs of cards and he's like, I want to get Clayton Tune. I'm like, you're not going to get Clayton Tune. And then he got Clayton Tune's rookie card. Of course.
We could probably get Clayton Tune to do a FaceTime call with Micah. Honestly, like that doesn't seem that hard.
Yeah. But he like thinks like Zach Wilson's good. And I'm like, he's not good. And then he'll ask me if these guys are good. And I'm like, no. And he like gets mad at me. And I'm like, I'm just trying to tell you the truth, dude.
You mentioned it earlier. This Browns offense, what are your thoughts?
I did. I mentioned it
earlier. Well, you talked about Jameis and this Browns team.
I'm like a perpetual Judy stan. I just feel like it's gonna happen.
It's gonna at happen. Some point in time. And now he's.
I like Judy at his. I like Judy a little bit more than our ranks have it right now. I like him at his ADP. I think Njoku might get a little bit inflated because he just had that absurd second half of the season. No idea what to do with Chubb. I'm so bad with the injury guys in April. That's definitely one of my weaknesses.
Well, they also have Amari Cooper.
Okay. Good lead in. You want me to just go to
where are you? Where are you wanting this to go? Are you wanting Leone to just give like a full lung?
No, I'm wanting
of the 2020.
I'm kind of wanting Leone just to give his opinion on this Browns offense, if he believes in it or not for this upcoming season.
Yeah, I mean, I think their coaching staff's good enough that it's going to be a pretty solid offense. I wouldn't blame people for going back to the Deshaun Watson well because it's such a cheap price tag right now and. I just can't believe how bad he's been in the games he's played, but I did see some stat, at least from a fantasy point perspective, that he wasn't as bad as he was in my head. I think from a fantasy production standpoint, he's going off at QB 23. Like that seems like a pretty good, I know the Browns stacks seem pretty good. I just think Njoku and Chubb are the two that I'm kind of worried on, but Amari seems like fine where he is. No strong take. And I like Judy. I had an ADP and I like Watson. I had an ADP.
Oh, interesting.
How about you, David? Yeah. What was your Watson tweet?
No, I don't remember what it was.
It was underdog said Deshaun Watson expected to start.
Oh, and I said, one. Yeah, he is.
Thank you.
Amazing. Thank you. Amazing.
For contributing
amazing
to
tweet.
The conversation.
I mean, Dave, let me tell you this. If you liked quarterback 10, Deshaun Watson, you are going to love quarterback 23, Deshaun Watson.
David, it just seems like an insane. Wait, hold on. I haven't even drafted yet. Go ahead.
Okay.
Why are we talking about rookies? Why are we talking about like the Browns offense?
Well,
hey,
is this your show?
Where
the captain leads.
Sorry. I forgot. Tuttle told me I'm not supposed to talk this much.
Yeah. Now I know why you're bullied so much on the other shows. All right, Davis, go ahead.
Where do you think Caleb Williams is getting drafted?
Are you asking me?
No, I'm asking David.
I'm looking at it right now. This isn't a fair question.
QB 8.
Oh, okay. I thought you were going to say something low. No, he's the quarterback 12. Yeah. I thought you were going to be like the quarterback 19 right next to Deshaun Watson.
No.
Okay.
Going to be a starting quarterback and can use his legs.
All right, Leone.
And they have like a pretty good team. I mean,
yeah. DJ Moore.
Leone, who is your guess for who the 2024 ship chasing cursed player, the Sky Moore LaVisca Chenault player?
Oh, God, I'm probably going to get this so wrong. Give me a second to come back because I want to give a
I will answer. I will go through. I said originally that it was Malachi Corley. Pete said no. Then I guessed Jalen McMillan. Jalen McMillan is my official guess from the University of Washington.
Oh, well, you're going to get Ben. I mean, you've already got like.
Yeah, Gretch. Well, no, Gretch doesn't like him. McMillan. Gretch is too close. He's too close to it. He'll get there. Trust me.
I feel like we need like a small school guy.
That was why Corley was my guess originally. Yeah.
I just listened to Corain narrate to me his wide receiver tiers while I was running.
I'm telling you right now, Davis isn't going to like this because he's been trying to co-opt him as his personal brand. But if there's a clip right now, it's going to be Dylan Lauby. That's who's destined.
Come on, dude. Dylan Lauby is all me. I've got 70% Dylan Lauby.
All me. Here we go. Corain started the Lauby with his ranks, and you know it.
Who would you?
Do you know who Dylan Lauby is?
No chance. No chance.
Yes. Played for New Hampshire.
Oh!
Who? That's the one blurb he read. What were the odds?
Wow.
No, it's because there's this UNH hive. There's Thorman. There's Liam. Lauby is taken over.
But he's over 20. Isn't he over 24?
Thorman loves him too.
Isn't he over 24 years old?
No, that's Ray Davis.
Okay.
Ray Davis,
who played at Temple, Vanderbilt, and then Kentucky.
Troy Franklin is a pretty ship chasing guy. Troy Franklin
He is.
I mean, you've got early declare, you've got college production. That seems like good.
I think he might just be an everyone guy though.
I know. Yeah. I'm having a hard time because I know, like, I feel like Leggett, they're not going to like just the 1 year wonder stuff.
That's why it's got to be McMillan or Pohl.
Dylan,
I mean, could be
Dylan
Pohl
is
too.
24 years old. So
shout out.
Like Peter, your guys is under the radar player is usually someone with some sort of production profile, isn't it? Like, as opposed to like a Devontae Walker type.
Yes, I just think people are thinking clip will end up being is a guy that we lean on as a crutch at the end of every draft and we're like, ah, screw it. Just like, let's just take this guy over and over again. So I'm going to ask everyone to open up your mind.
Okay. So
the player doesn't exist yet. So it's
yeah, the player doesn't exist yet. Right.
Okay. Because Franklin's not going to be end of the draft. Like, he's going to go a little bit earlier, right?
Yes, it's like a rookie wide receiver you're taking in round 11 every time, you know.
Wait, that could be Troy Franklin. I mean, he's not going ahead of round 11.
What if he's
a he's going like right around there? That could be him. I'm sticking with Troy Franklin.
It's a good guess.
I feel like the name though. You guys like Dobbs, Sky Moore, Chenault, like the better names than Troy Franklin.
Rizzy Pearsall is a good one. I think someone in the chat said Pearsall. That's a pretty good one.
Davis, you drafting any Johnny Wilson on FFPC to get that tight end conversion later on?
No, but I did. I thank you for bringing that up, Leone, because I got something that needs to be addressed to the cowards at underdog.com.
Oh boy.
They didn't Taysom. Put Isaac Garendo in the player pool.
No, Taysom is a quarterback. Taysom is a quarterback on Underdog.
Yeah, why did they do that?
They capitulated to big FFPC.
Was so wrong on that.
When
if they wanted to capitulate to big FFPC, they would have changed it in week 4.
That's true.
When Best Ball Mania 5 releases, whoever's listening to this, he cannot be a quarterback, bro. Come on.
Well, I seriously was wondering why they made that switch. Like, this year of all years seems like the oddest time to call him quarterback, doesn't it?
I believe
he actually played tight end last year.
So I believe it's because they do it from what the NFL team lists them as, and Taysom in the past has not been listed as a quarterback, but for whatever reason, I think because of the three quarterback rule last year. They literally listed the Saints listed him as a quarterback.
NFL.com, he's listed as a quarterback.
Correct. Which is obviously cowardly and a lie, and he needs to be listed as a tight end on fantasy sites.
So it sounds like your gripe actually isn't with Underdog, and it's with
New Orleans Saints. Of the organizations in the NFL that annoy the shit out of me, Saints are like one or two most annoying organizations. So yes.
Where are you guys on
Underhill Ladd? On the line, and let's get to the bottom of this.
Ladd McConkey or Ricky Pearsall?
Ladd.
Roman
you were
Wilson.
So proud of yourself for that question, dude. You thought you were going to really spark a debate.
Roman Wilson versus Ladd, I think, is more interesting, actually.
Yeah, I think I feel like JJ is higher on Roman Wilson than most.
He's a four-year player, but he's got that same Michigan thing going on.
Yeah, I will give props to JJ. I feel like he makes some of these adjustments for like how the teams play and stuff, like in a pretty sharp way to like account for Michigan not throwing, you know, a lot. I mean, I know,
but it's using still, dominator it's rating, still,
you can still do that, but
it's just still unknowable though, because the total number of plays is the variable that really matters.
That's where like Ladd's interesting, because like the film bros love him, the yards per out runs amazing, but it's like, why did he just not play?
He just simply doesn't play.
Well, yeah. It's I know so Sean funny. Doesn't like. I was somewhat surprised Siegel like really does not like him.
It's just so funny if you think about the traditional guy that the film bros vault up is a super productive but unathletic slot receiver, and they're like, he's just good. It doesn't matter. This is the inverse. He's super athletic and not productive whatsoever. It's just such a mind fuck.
Oh, productive on a per route basis, Peter.
He was like, and like, I feel like this is something we're gonna have to reckon with as time goes on with the NIL, is that guys who play for like Georgia, Alabama, Michigan, like the best schools, their teammates are even better than in years past. Like the power in college football is so concentrated that guys who are at these, you know, Texas, like all these schools, it's actually going to be harder for them to post like the crazy 35% dominator rating seasons and stuff.
Hey,
can I get this? There's Silva floated this trade idea in our Slack. Treylon Burks to the Bills.
Yeah. I've seen a few
for a conditional seventh round pick, or
I've seen a few Treylon trade rumors. I just don't know if they could get anything out of him.
Yeah, sometimes like, the new regimes, though, they just don't care. They just, again, they just get what they can get.
I like that. On. Let's make that happen.
That would be fun for for my Treylon bats. Some Treylon glimmer of hope.
You talked a little bit about dynasty, kind of like, you know, dynasty football. For those that do not know, we have really the first ever super flex tight end premium best ball league called the Insiders Dynasty Best Ball Super Flex League. Leone is setting a record for most years tanking in a row. I think this might be the fifth or sixth year that he it's finished last.
It's all coming together. I finally owned my pick, though.
I'm kind of curious as far as like when you're actually going to go for it, because your teams have been so bad. I think you only roster like it's a Superflex league. You only have like one quarterback. Like you have been tanking for
this so long. This is the year. This is he's got like all the picks this year. Like all of them.
Exactly.
Good enough to compete. It's weird. I got to figure it 10th
out. And 13th. Who's your first overall pick going to be, Caleb?
I mean, it's going to be Caleb. Part of me would like to get, would rather have two picks in the top.
Oh, seven, yeah. You should trade back. Yeah. You should do.
So I am in.
Then I can, then I can only carry one starting quarterback again and get the first overall pick next year. That's when we go for it.
I'm in an industry league with a bunch of guys people would know, and Marvin Harrison Jr. went first. Matthew Berry took Marvin Harrison Jr. over Caleb Williams.
I like how you slow rolled
the name drop in an industry league with a bunch of guys you'd know. Oh, he's gonna play it close to the vest. Matthew Berry took.
I'm doing a pod with Amico tomorrow night on that those two head to head, and I have an article coming out. I looked at starting with, as David astutely noted, one of the first ever Superflex tight end premium leagues. If I looked at like my rookie drafts and like sharper leagues the last 4 years and assigned them like draft capital, and then
why don't you tell the people about the guy you're in a league with who took Clyde Edwards-Helaire first overall in multiple leagues?
Yeah.
Rookie draft,
so I was
and
researching
still found
this
a way
league.
To win the league.
So I was researching this league to assign like a rough ADP to everyone, like that was based off these leagues I'm in versus like globally. And there's two separate leagues that go CEH first overall, Joe Burrow second overall, and Davis in both those leagues is the person who took CEH, and Jonathan Taylor was third. So that was a tough scene. But anyways,
love to see it.
The quarterbacks, though, man, they really do age well. Like, even these guys that bust, with the exception of Trey Lance, like
Trey Fields, Lance got more expensive from year one to year two.
Yeah, know. And
I've
like
got Bryce Young, I took Bryce Young with the third overall pick last year.
I got
Justin Fields the year before that.
Davis and I, in a league we split with Drew, just flipped Bryce Young and the 203 for Tyreek Hill. So, like, he still has – he had about the worst year possible, and he still has good value. So I was kind of big-braining for a bit, like, on a rebuilding team that Marvin Harrison, this type of prospect he is, there's, like, only, like, four of them the past 10 years. He's, like, such a sure thing that, like – maybe you should just take him because you're like in 4 years from now, it's like such a high probability relative to any other pick you can make that he's going to be a top 10 dynasty pick. Like, maybe you should do that over a quarterback who, as good as he is still like 50-50 to be good, because I mean, that's just how quarterbacks are. But I've sort of
come back around to
just taking Caleb.
So I'll take whoever you did not take. And for those asking, yes, this is the league that I drafted Puka at the 4.12.
Did anyone ask? I have the chat pulled up. I'm just
people are in the chat were about to ask.
My team, my team in this league that the three of us are in is so bad, and I don't really have any way to fix it. I'm like the seventh best team in the league, and there's just no way to improve either direction. It's not fun.
Real quick, you mentioned Drew. Just taking people back, like, you guys were kind of the Batman and Robin kind of coming up.
Totally.
Where, I mean, you guys own the space, really. And I'd like to think that maybe Robin is starting to become the Batman. And I want to know if you kind of feel that same way.
No.
If, like, if you think that you're the more prominent figure of the duo now.
No, I think we're more specialized, though. Like,
yeah.
Like, Drew's...
But, like, he's doing basketball, and now you're all... like football. Which is the
like Leone has not sport. Done a minutes projection for NBA in 5 years.
Yeah.
Oh god.
He doesn't know what a whopper is these days.
He literally would look at the Spurs rotation and be like, I don't know who that is.
Right.
I know the prop success that the NBA team has is just so insane that Drew rightfully so can, you know, gets his flowers for that. So I don't think there's a flippage of Batman and Robin there. I do think we're more specialized now for sure, though.
I don't know.
Dude, I cannot believe, and you guys too, like, we used to do everything every day for all this, like, baseball. You know, baseball used to exist. Oh my God.
I still play DFS for every sport every day. I play baseball every day still.
Oh, yeah. Lord.
Grinding those crowns. Drew has 51,000 followers. Leone now up to 47,000 followers. By the start of football season,
I bet their accounts aren't shadow banned. I bet Leone could tweet about Jermaine Burton and get a bunch of fucking likes because his accounts aren't banned.
Guess how many tweets I delete, Davis.
You think that's it? You think if I leave up the stinkers, the good ones will get more views? Is that our? I will put this into practice. I will put this into practice over the next 2 weeks, and I'll report back the next time we do the show.
For 2 weeks, I'm going to not delete a tweet for
Davis,
2 weeks.
Please do a tweet. That says,
how often are you deleting tweets that 2 weeks was the bar that you went to?
If I delete a tweet and it doesn't get any traction within an hour or two, it's gone.
That's unhealthy. That's like, I know, that is unhealthy.
I did see someone talking about, like, I don't know if it was TikTok or Instagram where they do that on videos, but I'm sure those algorithms are different than the Twitter one.
No, I'm sure algorithms love it when you delete content immediately after posting, in order to manufacture likes and engagement.
I mean, I don't know. The fact is that I used to have a good handle on the Twitter algorithm, and I don't know anymore.
Davis, just tweet the same thing 4 times in 4 different ways. See which one's getting the most traction, and delete the other 3.
No, that is still.
I still don't think that gets at the heart of what.
No, it's not going to. But I want to see you do it.
The subject material of the tweets has been the same for years. It's the interaction numbers that are.
Davis, your posts are now manufactured. They're processed. That's not organic anymore.
You're saying I'm posting like a brand, not a person.
You're using like chemicals and you know, as
there's seed oils. There's seed oils.
We need more farm to table tweets from Maddox.
Exactly. We need more.
I gotta
organic.
Go wrap this up.
Okay. All right. Leone, he can be found on X. Like I said, flipping is going to happen. He's going to take over Drew Dinkmeyer before football season starts.
I love this like manufactured battle.
This rivalry,
yeah.
Is Leone more likable than Drew Dinkmeyer? Mike Holland.
Drew is the most likable person in the world, especially for a robot. So
yeah, where's your charity drive, Leone? Fucking asshole.
Yeah, when I make Drew money, I'll give to charity.
All right. Do you have anything to promote?
Yeah. Check out the Establish the Edge podcast that has not had a new episode in 4 months, but I'm recording one tomorrow night. A 10-minute episode on Caleb Williams
promote
versus
the
Marvin Harrison Jr.
That people should draft off of slavishly, blindly, and without any additional thought.
Correct.
I'm just redirecting everyone to Jack Miller now on rankings.
Complaints. No, we don't talk about Jack on the show.
Jack banned. Talk about a
Jack
guy
has been shadow banned from this show.
Yeah.
Whoa, what did I miss?
He went on a family picnic once instead of coming.
Gave him the invite and he rejected it when he was an up and comer before he was even anybody. So, anyways,
I guess you guys hold grudges.
Correct,
Davis. Final thoughts.
If you see my tweets, you don't even have to like or retweet them, but just respond or click on it. Or how about this? If you are in Pete's Discord, tell me if you even see my tweets, because that's the other thing.
My God.
They're behind the shadow wall. You know what I'm saying?
Dude, I think we should organize a make a wish Twitter day for Davis, where we all vow to engage with every one of his tweets.
We got to find a really shitty tweet from like 2 weeks ago and just get it going.
That's the thing. The really shitty ones are gone. You can't find them.
Well, not after this 2-week experiment.
All right. Pete, final thoughts.
Leone, get back in the lab. Come back with some offensive linemen takes for us. We're going to need them around here, buddy.
Yeah. Yeah. And in 2 weeks, we're going to have our show, and that will start the every week season of the Swolecast. And so I guess Patrick decided he's not going to take an hour out of his schedule. I mean, babies don't even sleep. They don't even do much. They just sleep and eat and poop when they're born. But Pete's gone. Gosh, that guy. He's got stuff
to
do.
You only had until 2:05. Yeah,
I know. So we got to go, though. Appreciate everyone tuning in. We'll see you in 2 weeks with someone will give you offensive lineman takes that you're used to. We'll see you later.